Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. You made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
So we got into a conversation here moments ago after talking to Doug Hanks. What a wonderful waste of time that was. hey, everyone out there who's real concerned about America, nothing to worry about, okay? We're not all going to get sick again with a second wave of this stuff because we're opening up strip clubs and are all on top of each other, arguing that strip clubs are an expression of freedom and free speech.
We opened up half a stadium at College Station.
I mean, it's
and everyone
so
from that game
it's
got
so stupid. Like, I can't, there can't be a country that has handled this dumber than we have. Like, there simply can't be. But the conversation we were having was far less serious than that, which is, Chris asked, because he was just joking about having had the prime rib and found it delicious at Tootsie's. Mm. He is not someone who has eaten at Tootsie's. And so he was asking, who the hell eats at a strip club? And so, Guillermo, can you put it on the poll, please, at Levitard Show? Who the hell eats at a strip club, yes or no?
Lou Williams does.
Yes. Yeah. And that is a different – that is not what Tootsie's is, though. Let's be clear about that, okay? Tootsie's is not the famous Atlanta strip club that does indeed have famous wings that people come from all over for. But I said to Chris when he asked who eats in a strip club, I'm like, there was a time – I was at a bachelor party where, and I know you guys all think, well, of course, Dan eats at a strip club. But no, that's not where this story is going. My brother came in and joined us late, and all he did was order a steak and a baked potato. He ate it, and then he left. And Tony said, is there a food that you want less at a strip club than a baked potato? So, Guillermo, could you put that on the poll, please, as well? Is there a food at a strip club that you want less than a baked potato?
It's an odd place to want some starch. I mean,
I'm actually confused. This is where I'm confused, okay? I totally agree with the premise, and if I were voting on that poll, I would say, no, there is no food that you could have that is worse than a baked potato at a strip club. But I don't know why I'm saying that. I'm just assuming that the mushiness absorbs some of the nearby disease. Like, I don't know. I don't know why I'm saying exactly that. You're totally right. I agree with you, but why don't I want a baked potato? Baked potatoes are delicious.
Like, I feel like there are worse things you could get, maybe. I don't know.
Possibly.
I mean...
Dan, it's the thing. You got the butter. You got the sour cream. There's a lot of stuff that can stick. Like you said, there's a lot of stuff in the air. You know, you're trying to like move stuff out of the way, especially in COVID. I'll put it this way. When you have the 5 second rule, right? And something drops on the floor. If it's wet, you got to throw it away. If it's dry, you can, it's a cookie. I'll take it. It's okay. But there's something about the wet, you know, feeling of it that, yeah.
I love your brother thinking he's a prime 112. I
mean. Guillermo, please put it on the poll. Can COVID be transmitted by baked potato? Because I honest to God, don't know what we're doing here. Because you would agree with me, right? That the loaded baked potato is a magical thing.
Yes. Delightful. Yes.
But not at a strip club.
No, but potato skins at a strip club.
Those are okay?
I think so, yes.
Wait a minute. Okay, so explain. It's specifically that you guys don't like that the mushy of the potato can absorb some nearby disease. If you just fry it up and give me like something that's hard as a slab, no problem. I'll have a potato skin. No coronavirus or disease of any kind is going to get caught in my little tube of potato.
Plus, it's a hand food. It's like, you know.
It is. It's a finger food.
Yeah, it's a finger food. You take it, you shove it in your mouth, you're good, you know?
Don't you think, who was it? Was it Bruce Pearl that we said looked like somebody who would eat a baked potato like he would eat a taco? Isn't that what we ended up saying?
That's so one of my favorite ones. I think Reese Davis confirmed that one to me privately.
Oh boy, privately. Yeah.
He's like, man, that one's so funny because I've eaten a baked potato with Bruce Pearl.
Bruce Pearl, is there anyone in sports who looks more likely to eat? I know.
To have lunch at a gentleman's club?
And well... Barry Switzer did that. The Dallas Cowboys, that what a wonderful time in sports, Stugatz, that was. The Dallas Cowboys so embraced their renegade image that their coach, who was caught with a gun at the airport, would have lunch at a gentleman's club during the day with Michael Irvin. It's just wonderful.
Are you talking? But have you guys ever eaten the food at that specific establishment, Tootsie's? It's not bad. They got good food.
I had the wings there once.
Yeah, the wings aren't bad.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Decent quesadillas.
So
I had a friend that just ate the pico, which was kind of weird. Tells you a little bit about how that bachelor party was going.
Can you explain to us, because you were busy working while we were talking about it, do you have a theory or an explanation for why it is that the baked potato is something that seems like the food you'd want the least?
The mushiness. The mushiness.
I don't know if it's the least, though. I mean, like, I feel like if there was like a shrimp scampi on the menu, I'm like, no, I'm good on that.
Yeah.
Right. On toast, butter, all that stuff. Right?
Well, hold on.
Like,
a second.
If they had a gazpacho, I'm not going there.
Right.
Oh, I mean, gazpacho.
Why are we making Tootsie's Cafe Matarana?
A gazpacho is good.
I had a gazpacho at a, I'm not going to say the name of the hotel, but it was at a Vegas buffet, and it was a higher end Vegas buffet, and I was hospitalized for 3 days.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is there such a thing as a higher-end Vegas buffet?
The gazpacho at this one.
What do you mean? There's not a buffet. No, there's no such thing as a high-end buffet anywhere.
No, I mean,
have you been to the Stratosphere? I mean,
no, that's not the one.
Is that the one downtown?
No, but when you go there, everything else seems like it's high-end. I mean,
okay. If low-end is that low, is a mashed potato as bad as a baked potato? A mashed potato side.
Ooh.
Like, I don't think of it this
way. I mean, you talk about mushy. Like, that's the construct.
It is the construct, but I believe that the baked potato hurts us because it's mushy and it can be trapped. I believe that.
Yeah.
There's no escape for the bacteria. Whatever.
It's just we're encasing.
It is. It's a Venus flytrap of poisons and illness. Yes.
Yeah. I'm not going baked potato at a gentleman's club. Not doing that.
Are you going mashed potatoes?
Yeah, more likely.
I'm going french fries.
Yeah. Fries, definitely.
Yeah, you go fries.
Would you go potato skins?
Nah, because I go french fries. It's hard to screw up a french fry.
All right.
You guys have different experiences at strip clubs than I do. I mean, I'm the fat guy, and I like never have looked at a menu at a strip club in my entire life. What's going on here? Is it just like because it's a bachelor party, a big group, so you order stuff for a group or something?
No, I still occasionally go because I still have shithead friends from high school that if there's a big UFC fight or a big boxing match, they're like, oh, let's go over there. And it's like the worst place in the world for me to go to because it's just I got to go in there with like a super low hat. And then someone's asking me about the Dolphins inevitably. And I just always got to give people like I don't want to give the bathroom attendant dollars there because I especially don't trust the dollars there. It's a whole thing. But yeah, I have the food there and the food there is fine. I usually dart straight to the sports bar, though.
There are plenty of places all over America where the strip club food is good. It's reputable. People come for just the food. But I don't feel like Florida has any of those places. I don't believe that in this state.
There's a place up in Palm Beach, I am telling you. I mean, you can get a porterhouse for $3 with steak sauce. It is absolutely fantastic. I can't remember the name of it. But I was there maybe, I don't know, I want to say, let me think, how long have I been married? 21 years ago. It was fantastic. I cannot, Christie's maybe?
I feel like there was a place called Strip that it was like...
New York Strip.
Yeah, it was like where they would just sort of do a play on like a strip steak and it would be more like a burlesque show than an actual gentleman's club.
We have done important work here today so far. I just want everyone to absorb a groundbreaking lawsuit, a victory for flesh and not for Florida, not really for Florida. We're always the embarrassing ones. How bad were the photos? What did you guys see? Because I just saw a couple of photos outside of Tootsie's, and it looked like the most happening of nightclubs in Miami. Everybody was dressed, very formally, except when you got inside, nobody was dressed.
They're saying that they're limiting capacity to 50% still.
It didn't look like it, though, did it?
Well, that's the thing. Outside, you have these photos that, like, that looks like a super spreader, because there's always a big line to get in a Tootsie's during a game weekend. Always.
And those people didn't seem to be socially distanced.
Now, listen, you think a certain way if you're in a rush to get to Tootsie's. And I say that as someone that's gone there, I mean, within the last year. But I feel like you can judge the people that just have to go to a gentleman's club during a global pandemic.
It was Rachel's up in Palm Beach, the name of it. Yeah. Great menu, escargot, spring rolls. I mean,
yeah, but your knowledge is
they're really jumping across the globe
from two decades ago. Yes, many they're a broad net for everybody. you are really doing something, though. I don't think most strip clubs have been open 20 years. I would doubt very much that Rachel's is still in existence.
No, I think it's going strong. I mean, don't forget, it's got a steakhouse, world-class steakhouse. It's on the, it's advertised as a 5-star menu on their website.
There's also multiple locations, because I've heard from somebody that might have been an employee at one of these places in Orlando that it's still thriving.
Yeah, I mean, Chilean sea bass.
Chilean.
Chilean. Is that what it is?
Chilean?
I don't know.
Chilean sea bass.
Chilled sea bass?
No. I did, yeah.
Chilean sea bass.
No. I'm with you, Stugatz. That's what I thought it was, too.
Chilean sea bass.
No. No.
Chris, total non sequitur, but we're all Space Jam guys. Did you see the reported details of Space Jam 2?
No, tell me.
There have been finally plot details that have leaked out. Space Jam 2 will reportedly have LeBron James and his son get trapped in a Warner Brothers multiverse that includes Pennywise and the Joker. To return home, LeBron and Bugs Bunny must reassemble the Looney Tunes and play against digital superstar versions of NBA and WNBA stars. So the Joker and Pennywise are going to be...
Billy is shaking his head no.
That movie's going to suck.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That movie's not going to be good. There's too much hype for it. It's not going to live up to it.
I was saying to my wife that I would be okay if they recreated that movie line for line, just replacing Michael Jordan with LeBron James. Just release the exact same movie with LeBron James. I'd be good with it.
I don't think most people would be. I don't think...
It's better than that, though. Like, what is... I don't know.
Is it better than that? Now, look, I don't know. Here is the movie LeBron James is making, okay? He is doing it with his kid, and I don't know what it is that he's trying to achieve that isn't going to feel cheaper than the authenticity of the joy you felt when you watched that as a child. I don't know how you make Space Jam after Michael Jordan without being copycat, but if you were to do it, this is a big swing to involve other characters from other universes, to cast a broad net so it's not just you playing against the Monstars.
Right, that's totally different. Here's some more details. During a trip to the Warner Brothers studio, that's how they get stuck in this multiverse, LeBron and his son get trapped within a world that contains all of the Warner Brothers stories and characters under the control of a malfunctioning, all-powerful force named Al G, played by Don Cheadle. With the help of Bugs Bunny, LeBron must navigate through never-before-imagined worlds with iconic movie scenes and characters as they reassemble the Looney Tunes to rescue his lost son. Now, to get back home, LeBron and the Toons have to unravel Al G's mysterious plan and win an epic basketball game against digital gamified versions of WNBA and NBA superstars.
It's a big swing. Still, Billy, nothing? Doesn't do anything for you? Because they've got to modernize it. It can't be just the same story, and you open up the entire Warner Brothers treasure chest there. That's going to, you know, conjure memories across a whole bunch of generations.
That's super cool. If, like, Joaquin Phoenix is all of a sudden playing Joker again in a 5-minute version as he goes, like, between worlds in the Warner Brothers canon, that's amazing. That's a really cool idea.
I mean, you don't have to remake every movie.
Agreed.
It's a fair point.
I do like the iconic scenes from other movies. Like, that would be cool. Like, I could buy that maybe.
I don't know,
like,
what it's
Casablanca. Exactly. That's the one I was thinking too.
I wonder if that is MGM? Let's see. I'm going to classic Warner Brothers movies. They have Casablanca. Oh, man, that'll be so great. Yes. Yeah, that'll be great. That's a great idea. They have The Wizard of Oz. That's awesome. Do it. The Exorcist. That's not going to be like PG-13.
I'm going to have to explain two movies to your daughter if they include The Wizard of Oz.
Explain to me, Billy.
Ooh, they have The Matrix. How cool would that be, Dan?
That would be cool.
I would like to know, given I understand any cynicism about this, but given that LeBron is being managed by good people, people we know to be smart, but also given that we know LeBron can be corny, given both of those things, is that the reason for your skepticism? Like when you say, Billy, we don't have to remake everything, those are smart people around LeBron. That sounds like a smart idea. I don't know if they can execute it, but that sounds at least like a big hack. This isn't something that LeBron is taking lightly because he knows, like, this is not... LeBron knows how many SI covers he has and Michael Jordan has. LeBron knows what he's coming after, who he's fighting, and the fact that he's going to be compared to Michael at every turn, and he's welcoming this challenge under the guise of, I'm a family man. I'm a father. I build schools. I want a connection with kids. Like, that's all part of what they're selling here.
No, this is not a challenge to be like Michael. This is, he wants to be a movie star and he wants to make a ton of money. You think he cares about the legacy of this movie? No. He wants to be famous. He wants to put out a movie that everybody likes. You don't think LeBron wants to be like in the number one movie in America?
It was written by Ryan Coogler. So if Ryan Coogler can do the massive undertaking of Black Panther and make that a cinematic masterpiece that's nominated for all sorts of awards, he can take this concept and make it good.
I wonder if they're feeding the childhood of some of the people that they're recruiting to do this. Like, the way that you get a Joaquin Phoenix to do this is because he was a kid when Space Jam came out. The way that you get that the Black Panther architect to do this is because he might have had a childhood appreciation for Space Jam. The people who are tackling it,
or you pay him.
That too. But the people who are tackling it might think the same way you do, Billy, which is like, why do I need to do this? This is silly. This isn't going to work. Everyone's going to criticize this.
Oh, no, people are going to love it. It'll be a huge success just because of the names. But it'll be like Austin Powers 3, where there's just 8 billion cameos. And you're like, was this necessary?
Yeah, I hear you. But it's a cameo in like surefire automatic winner roles. Like, I don't know if it is Joaquin Phoenix playing the Joker. I just know that the Joker is supposed to be in it.
Well, it would have to be Pennywise if it's it, right?
Well, yeah, well, if it's played by the same actor, imagine you're watching a trailer and all of a sudden Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker shows up in a trailer alongside LeBron James. And that's not just Joaquin Phoenix playing like Austin Powers or a different role. And it's just, hey, I'm Joaquin Phoenix. It's the Joker. It's a character that won an Academy Award. That's cool.
Is LeBron...
It's a kid's movie, though, so it's not going to be like Scary Joker or Scary It. It's going to be Pennywise, whatever it's called. It's going to be a cartoon little kid version of it.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Pennywise... Because Pennywise is going to be scary no matter what. Like, you change how he looks because this is going to be... I guess this is meant for teens and their parents, if I had to guess.
I mean, clowns are scary whether they look like Pennywise or not, right? Clowns are just generally scary. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Are clowns scary?
I'm just laughing at Casablanca. I
mean... Yes, you go through the entire Warner Brothers library. What is the success for that movie? Like, I don't expect it to be critically acclaimed, but I expect it to be popular. Like, here's one of the things that makes me feel, you know, old, and I feel old all the time around here, Stugatz. The number one song in America right now, Savage Love, is garbage. It's just so bad. But it just comes from TikTok and an amalgamation of new ways to accrue music. And so it's the number one song in America, and I'm too old to appreciate it. So I don't think it's good, but it's indisputably popular. It can't be argued otherwise.
Right. I've never heard of it. I've never heard of the song. I don't know what to tell you.
But it's just a TikTok creation, and it's like just, what is the name of that, the band, the boy band, the BMT, what is it called?
BTS.
BTS, yeah. It's just an amalgamation of a bunch of different stuff. Do you like the song? You couldn't like the song, Mike.
The Jason Derulo song?
Yes.
Yeah, it's all right. TikTok is really moving the needle in terms of what's popular in music now, because nightlife wasn't really going, and that's what would make songs popular. dancing to music makes it popular. Well, that's the whole idea behind TikTok. So a song blows up on TikTok and all of a sudden Dreams from Fleetwood Mac becomes one of the biggest, arguably the song of the year. It's crazy.
And so it's one of the many places where I don't feel, Stugatz, like I am in touch. So you say what? You're somebody who actually appreciated Space Jam as a child, aren't you?
I did appreciate it. I didn't love it.
You weren't children. Neither was Joaquin Phoenix. You guys were like in your 20s, I think, when Space Jam came out.
I liked it. I'm not obsessed with it. I didn't love it. It wasn't that big of a deal. I know it's a big deal to other people. It just wasn't. It never resonated with me like that. It didn't.
I mean, resonated with me because it was super cool to see Michael Jordan alongside Bugs Bunny, who for someone like 12 years old, wow, these are the two most famous people in the world in my eyes, even though one's animated. But a big part of Space Jam's success was the cameos. So in the sequel, they're replicating that, but instead of Bill Murray, you know, just being Bill Murray and golfing, now you have Joaquin Phoenix are potentially playing a beloved role.
The soundtrack is also something that I'm looking at. Like, what? Like that soundtrack for this first Space Jam movie was like one of the best movie soundtracks ever. So yeah. They got a lot to live up to just from that.
How many times did that soundtrack go platinum?
I don't know.
It has to be one of the biggest original motion picture soundtracks ever.
Is Stugatz putting Jack Nicholson from The Shining in Space Jam? Like, what is it?
Oh, wow.
I'm going through all the Warner Brother movies, the classic Warner Brother movies. You get Ray Liotta from Goodfellas, too.
I would love that movie. Is it possible at all? It's not possible that they go teenage dark, right? They're not going to allow it to be. They're not going to allow Pennywise to be scary, are they?
They're
not
going to have to be funny with it, but you can't change the way Pennywise looks.
No, but how great would that be, though, if all of a sudden just Jack Nicholson is in a scene sort of dragging an axe through a hotel? Like that, you got a cameo from Jack Nicholson.
I think Jack is pretty staunchly retired at this point, but he's a big Laker fan. If he'd do it for anybody, he'd do it for LeBron.
That's what I'm saying. He's going to be able to get all these people to do stuff.
So are we talking about LeBron James being digitally inserted into these old clips?
Yeah, that's so great. That one. Yeah, that's fantastic. It's a great idea. A lot of people like Forrest Gump. How cool was it in Forrest Gump when he was in, like, meeting JFK?
But it's not just LeBron. It's LeBron and his son, correct?
Well, he's got to find his son, so I don't know how large a role. I haven't seen a trailer for this, and I got to imagine whatever release date they had in mind has been pushed back given the pandemic.
I'd love Harrison Ford from The Fugitive to somehow make an appearance. Richard Kimball?
I want to see this movie.
Was this before or after his son's IG story?
This was before he started filming this, and we don't know which one of the sons. We don't know if it's Bronny. But yeah, he finished filming, I think, before the whole bubble thing happened. So,
is it true that so we talked around whatever it is that Bronny did on social media to, you know, get in trouble with his father? But is it true that Bronny all of a sudden disappeared from social media as soon as LeBron got home from the bubble? Like that there was a clear, he was out of all of the gaming sites from one day to the next as soon as LeBron, like, wait till your dad comes home.
He's been grounded from Twitch. I don't know. The only thing on social media that I've seen of LeBron's family is that his daughter has her own house.
What?
Yeah, she has. It's cute. Like, she has this clubhouse that's the size of a home but just structured for a five-year-old girl. Man. So LeBron has to go in there. She's cleaning. She has her own little house. It's really neat.
Awesome.
Billy, are you publicly rooting against Space Jam 2? Are you? I want you to put your name on it.
Sure.
Yes,
I'm publicly rooting against Space Jam 2. No, I'm just not super interested in it, and I think that it has recipe to fail. Just because people have been talking about it for a decade or more and how LeBron's going to do this movie. So it has to live up to all the hype that they've been building forever. It's going to be hard for them to do that.
What year are we living in where Bronny has to, like, wait for his dad to get home to get in trouble? Like, why can't he punish him from the road? Why couldn't he
FaceTime? We're also assuming he's getting in trouble. Like, I mean, why? No,
That's so funny that like the day he gets home, that's when the punishment would start. Like he couldn't contact him it's for 4 weeks before.
It really is.
And why can't mom discipline
him? It's the 1950s. It's father knows best. But that's what people were talking about. Like they were making a link between Bronny all of a sudden being punished as soon as LeBron came out of the bubble. That's not. Look, man, I ain't on those gaming sites playing against Bronny. I'm not the one making these investigative allegations.
Can you imagine if Dirty Harry made an appearance? Space Jam.
I love the way you're doing this. You're making it a movie that you and me want to watch.
Yes.
You are Richard Kimball and Dirty Harry and Chad Nicholson. I don't know any of these characters. I know, right? These are all, but this is The Shining, The Fugitive. God. Like these are all old movies. And I love Mike saying, I think Jack is retired now. He would absolutely come to, he would drag an axe across the Warner Brothers parking lot for LeBron James.
Well, because I saw a sequel to The Shining called Dr. Sleep, which was actually pretty good, but they couldn't get Jack. They just got someone that looked just like Jack to recreate Jack's role. They should just get the guy that played Jack.
They should get that guy. They should get the guy from Dr. Sleep. Yeah. You don't think you'd notice?
It was hard. I'm like, did they digitize Jack Nicholson? But it's just another guy. They got a bunch of lookalikes from the original Shining.
Chris, you didn't see The Shining?
The Shining is the one of those movies that I am familiar with. But like Kimbrel or whatever you said, is that Craig Kimbrel you're talking about? I don't know.
The Fugitive, Harrison Ford?
Yeah, no, I've heard of it, obviously. I've heard of Harrison Ford, but never seen that movie.
So good,
Chris. Man. Yeah. I didn't do it. It wasn't me.
What was the other one, Stugatz? There was There was a third. That was a good movie.
That was a great movie. Tommy Lee Jones, did he get nominated for that? That was such a great line, too.
I think he did get nominated for that.
That movie does hold up. You got it.
Was that the one where he's like, you can't handle the truth?
No, that's a few good.
No, that's a different movie. Good
man. Yeah. I hope that's a Warner Brothers movie.
Wow. No, it's not. That's Columbia.
Ah, damn it. Just imagine LeBron and all his friends in all these classic scenes, like Kendrick Perkins in that scene.
We got The Hangover.
I think this movie can be really cool. Space Jam just threw a bunch of star power and they made a movie out of it. Now they're doing the same thing. You're going to mark out the second that you see something from your childhood in there.
Goodfellas?
Or from Joaquin Phoenix's 21-year-old. I didn't realize that Joaquin was that old. God dang, man.
I feel like they're going to get too cute with it. Like, just let LeBron go through a golf hole to get to the secret world, and that's it. Like, I don't need some high-tech. I just feel like they're going to try to 2020 this up too much.
See what Newman's up to. Bring him back, and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Joaquin Phoenix is 45 years old, just had his first child. So Space Jam is, what, 22 years old at this point? So outside of that, like, Joaquin had already lived a life of tragedy by then.
Yes. But it doesn't sound like Stugatz will be partaking in any of this. And your daughters, that's not a connection point for you and your daughters, right?
No, not unless Dirty Harry's in it.
So I don't know what the hell the Marlins did over the weekend, because they seem to have their first good year since, what, 2003? And we were all wondering what Michael Hill was doing still with that job early on in that regime. And now they finally have a good season and they don't bring him back. Now, he's not technically fired. His contract expired. They're not renewing it. For people who don't know, Michael Hill is the GM for the Miami Marlins. And what do you guys, Billy, what do we make of this? Like, what is Jeter doing here where we finally have a good season and then we get rid of Michael Hill?
I mean, I think before the season, no one would have been surprised if Michael Hill wasn't there at the end of the season. His contract was expiring. He wasn't part of this regime. He was like the only person they inherited and kept. So they, you know, made him an offer. They couldn't come to an agreement, and that's it. Now they'll bring in their own person, and that'll be that.
Oh, they did actually make an offer? That makes me feel...
Well, let me give you some clarification on this, because David Sampson actually talked to Mike Ryan during that segment that they do that is always informative. And if you were listening to that, actually, what happened is exactly what he said was going to happen, which is the Marlins were going to make him, you know, I'm using this term figuratively, but also literally, a token offer, because he's one of two black executives in the league with that kind of power. It's one of the reasons that he was still there, even as they gutted the entire franchise because it wouldn't have looked good. And quietly, during 2020, after a playoff season, they needed it to look like he turned down the job. So David Sampson said it was an embarrassing, he predicted an embarrassingly low offer that Michael Hill couldn't accept and that would he would have to walk away from. And so what they said in the press release is mutual parting of ways.
Well, we don't know what the offer was. And also Derek Jeter's black. So it's not like he was the only black person in the organization that was fired. It just, you know, it's not uncommon for a new regime to come in and bring in their own people. They just kept him around for a couple of years. And didn't Loria and Sampson extend like everyone? So they would have had to pay them anyway. So they just kept him around at the end.
It's a little
but it's not weird to bring in new people when you want to have your own team.
No, but it is weird to do it the way they did it, where they kept him for one extra year and then let him go after the playoff season.
But when David Sampson says that he kept that job because he was black, I mean, I feel like that's a little cynical. And like, does he know that? Or?
No, that was not what David Sampson said.
That directly.
That's not what David Sampson said.
I thought you said he, that's what I thought you said he said. Sorry.
No. David Sampson, all David Sampson said was Jeter's going to want his own guy and the whatever offer coming from Jeter is not going to be, let me actually be serious about keeping you. It's a, you've heard of an offer you can't refuse. This was an offer that you will refuse.
But David Sampson probably would have done the same thing. Would he not have?
You're talking about a guy that fired the manager, the reigning manager of the year. David Sampson's very pro Michael Hill. He has his agenda whenever he talks about Michael Hill. He roots for Michael Hill, and he was telling me for months on that local hour that Michael Hill wasn't going to stick around. That I mean, he foretold this whole thing. It's very transparent. And now, yes, Derek Jeter's a person of color, and now he just presumably assumes that, or he'll put somebody in that in Michael Hill's place.
It's going to be. Would you guys have a problem if Jeff Luhnow became the general manager of the Marlins? Because that could be a possibility.
From what I read, it seems like they want to do like a collaborative thing. Like they'll bring someone in, they're going to hire someone, but it's not going to be a one person job where that person has the final say on what it is that they're doing moving forward. Then a lot of people thought maybe Denbo will come up because he's kind of rebuilt the farm system. But Mish said that he doesn't think that that's going to happen because Denbo seems to like the position that he's in now in terms of talent development, that maybe he'll have a bigger say. But I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, we'll see.
Billy, how do you feel about this, though? What the point that Chris was making, I can poo-poo how successful a season it actually was in terms of just doing the measurements on how good they were because of what I've told you about them having the same sort of stat as the bottom of the division with the Nationals, the Phillies, and the Mets. The same sort of numbers, but a better record. But if I'm using winning as a reason to keep somebody, and we're all in agreement that the Marlins have indeed replenished their farm system, isn't Michael Hill coming off the best season he's ever had as Marlins head of power? Like, with those two things in mind, because I don't think that they were actually that good last year, but they were a nice story as the bottom feeders. But if you buy into that stuff, winning is all that matters. Isn't the argument to be made that Michael Hill is being let go or is being made an offer that he doesn't find suitable coming off of his single best season in charge of the Marlins?
I mean, but it wouldn't be his best season because the players they've acquired over, you know, a group of seasons. So I guess then it becomes a question of who do you give the credit to? Is it Michael Hill's decisions? Was it player development decisions? Who do they think is responsible for this team's success? And I think by letting him go, they don't think he's responsible for the team's success.
And that's fair to say, except that they probably should have done that last year. It doesn't make a difference to wipe everyone else out. And then I think I told you guys at the time, and maybe this is where you and how you made that inference, Chris, I think I told you at the time that the thing that jumped out to me about them cleaning house, except for Mike Hill, is that they felt that they couldn't strip the power from a black executive. And that's the reason that he stayed in that position in a pie chart of a lot of different reasons, right? Like that's the
Plus, I think you want to have a transitional guy as you're moving down, a guy who's been with the organization, who's familiar
with
the organization.
But they had a bunch of people like that, and they let all of them go except for Michael Hill.
Yeah,
like,
he's the one.
Yeah,
he was the one guy, and then a year later, they let him go. And I'm not even criticizing it. I think Billy brings up all good points. The part that just struck me as curious is, I would have thought you would have, if you were going to do it, I would have thought you would have done it a year ago.
Well, it's actually worked out for Michael Hill that they didn't, because now he enters a free agency period where people look, oh, he built the Marlins into a playoff team. So it's worked out for him. And Derek Jeter's obviously making a move. Look, it's got to be awkward with Derek Jeter because Michael Hill is from a previous regime. He had a different power structure. Now he reports to Derek Jeter. If Derek Jeter negotiates from someone outside of that power structure, it's still going to feel a little weird, right? It's not going to be like, you're my guy. And I don't think Derek Jeter is at this point really interested in ceding power to anybody or giving appearances of that. So whoever he puts in place, if he actually does put someone in place and doesn't just go full power grab, it is ultimately going to be Derek Jeter's call. It's going to be a handpicked guy, and he will have final say in the matter no matter what.
And by the way, that's what it seemed like it was under Loria too. So it seems like Michael Hill's always kind of had people overseeing him and not really, I don't want to say interfering, but when we were talking about why is Michael Hill still there with all of the issues that they had, that they didn't build these playoff teams with all these great guys, and we're saying, well, Michael Hill was the guy that made these trades. Well, then you read the reports later on and it's like, well, a lot of these bad deals were not Michael Hill's fault. They were the fault of Loria, who was pushing through these bad deals, like a John Buck or whoever it is, right? Where he was getting in like a Wei-Ying Chen, and he was getting in the way of the GM in some cases. Well, maybe this will be good for Michael Hill. I mean, everyone has come out, like the local reporters, all that. Michael Hill's a great guy. He did a good job. So you're going to think he'll probably get another shot based on what turned around here with the Marlins. And maybe it'll be good for him to get a new scenery where he will be the guy making decisions on some of these things, where you don't have an owner in Jeffrey Loria who's kind of interfering with things. And if, you know, you read the reports that they want to make it a collaborative thing here down in Miami with Jeter and whoever else is involved, maybe it'll be good for him to be the guy somewhere else.
It is interesting as a perspective, but what if it's not? Like, what if it's not easy getting
it wasn't easy for
job?
Larry Beinfest.
What if it's not easy because of all the Marlins stains in your past? And all of a sudden, not only what if it's not, what did that offer have to be for Michael Hill to say, I'm not interested in this? Like, how, what I thought was interesting, I thought was interesting about the maneuvering of it is, well, you were going to take him back if he accepted the crappy offer? Then he would have been back? He would have been good enough, but only if he works cheap? Like, I've found the mechanics of that to be most interesting. The idea that they're putting out there, we parted ways mutually, and that Samson told you months ago what was going to happen here, where he said they're going to insult him with the offer, and then they're both going to throw up their hands and say, no, this, that we'll just part ways amicably.
Once again, to be fair to all the parties, we have no idea what the offer was. We just have the result of Michael Hill not accepting the offer, so we're just left to speculate that with months, coupled with months of being having this foretold to us by David Samson.
Mike, the offer's bad enough where that man walked away from the job, a job that a lot of people would want.
We don't know that also. It could also be a situation where they said, listen, we're not going to bring you back next year. You can go out and say you turned down an offer, whatever you want it to be, but we're going to move on without you. So if you want to save face or whatever, say you turned down the offer and then it's not, you were fired.
I'm so curious about what represents doing that job well if it's not this year, because you got the success the way the baseball people do the measurements. You made the playoffs. Right. It doesn't matter. It was a mutated season. Doesn't matter that it was 60 games, whatever. By the measurements of this season, you made the playoffs. And by consensus, the farm system has indeed been rebuilt. And you rebuilt it by properly scouting Yelich, Ozuna, and Stanton.
Yep.
By doing your job, because Michael Hill's been here a long time. All of those pieces that had value to recreate the club, or at least in some way, they touch Michael Hill more than they touch present management.
Right, but what they got for those players, was that all Michael Hill? Was that a combination of Jeter and Michael Hill?
Well, but what I'd find, what I would love to know as an answer, because we don't know. You got Samson with an agenda arguing one thing. You got Billy with fandom arguing another, and with information, like understanding what it is that he's watching. I would love to know an honest answer to the question asked of either Michael Hill or Derek Jeter. Hey, who's responsible for this? Is it Jeter bringing in his Yankee people, or is it you that sort of fixed the farm system? Because I'm guessing, and I'm just guessing here, that Jeter thinks he did that.
I'm guessing Jeter thinks he did it as well, of course.
And so what do I need Michael Hill for?
Right. I could do it myself. And he wants to do it himself.